When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Connor Lawler. Welcome back to another week of Hero or Zero here on the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking one comic book character, as we do every single week. We talk their good points and their bad points, and we generally just give you a bit of a rundown of everything to do with that character. I am joined, as always, by my festive friend, Mr. Sean Mead. Sean, how's it going?
I'm good, Connor. Festive time is over, though. Now we're back into the grind of real life, the monotonous day-to-day work that we all have to do.
Coming in with, you can tell he worked today.
Oh, how dare they make me work on a day I specifically didn't book off.
I, on the other hand, had the day off, so I'm feeling much more cheery about everything. I'm in that weird week between Christmas, New Year's, where you're not working.
It's a glorious time for everyone else.
I've eaten so much chocolate, Sean.
You don't even like chocolate, no, that's the thing.
Just to spite you today, I was doing it.
Oh, you knew I'd want to eat chocolate. Yeah. To be fair, Sean, I did.
And this is our first episode since Christmas, since all that stuff. Last week, you did the Marvel character Chair.
I did. To resounding success, I will say.
I am annoyed about the fact that we had multiple people messages just with the word Chair. That got to me.
I call that a good bit, everyone. Can keep that up.
But we do have two things that we want to get to before, well, three things. One, we hope you all had a great time over the last few days.
Yeah, I suppose.
He doesn't, because he's just salty. he's a hater today. But I, on the other hand, hope you all had a good time. New Year's is coming up. I'm hoping if you were by yourself, I hope you had an okay time. I hope it was a manageable time. But look, I hope everyone's safe and happy. But
hope everyone's doing your best.
Whatever way you're doing, just do your best. But secondly, Sean, great news. The task of 100 Spotify 5-star reviews before Christmas.
Has it been accomplished?
Six away.
Six,
as of this recording, we are six away.
Look, I know six of you listening haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
Okay. That
we is close.
And frankly, I'm in no mood today. Just fucking do it.
I've seen it climb slowly over the last month or so, as this was the campaign that we've been running for the last month. Yeah. And we're six away. We are so close. So if you haven't
given... Not to
given
give people too much credit before they've done it, but we have actually made serious progress and great strides, and thanks to everyone who did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also, six more, lads. Come on.
So if you haven't given us 5 stars on Spotify, please, it would really, really help us out. And lastly, our live listener hangout is probably already happened by the time this comes out.
Oh, I'm not editing that quickly.
Yeah. So thank you for everyone for showing up to our listener hangout earlier on today.
And so how does this work then? Because we are announcing the weird news thing on the hangout.
Yeah. So we can now announce it here is that the votes for the top 10 weird news stories for next week's weird news is now live. I will put it up on all the socials. And all you have to do is click into it and you can vote as many times as you want for all the different stories. Whichever stories that you like the best out of weird news this year, we'll do a top 10 show. And then the top 10, we have like our number one weird news story of the year that ends. That will be next week's weird news show.
Yeah, and that those episodes are always a lot of fun, and they're a good way to like introduce someone to the show. I think last year our most popular episode was the best top 10 of weird news.
Yes.
Simply because it's the best of the best.
It's the best of the best. It's the best 10 stories. I'm voted for it by you guys. So please, the voting is now live. Check the Facebook, check the Twitter, check the Instagram. It's up there somewhere. But Sean, we got to get into some Hero Zero stuff because we haven't talked about any sort of, you don't know who I'm doing.
No,
I put this together last week. Sean, I am doing a man because there's so many things happening at the moment in the world in terms of events.
In terms of, here?
I'm not talking about wars. I'm talking
events.
Oh,
thank goodness.
what a weird segue that would have been. I mean, I'm talking about maybe something called Christmas.
Yes.
I'm talking New Year's.
Yes.
Other events.
Festivus.
Festivus. Hanukkah. Fantastic.
I believe Kwanzaa has started now.
Of course. All of them. What perfect character to cover at this time than a character we covered many, many years ago when the mics were terrible and now we can talk about him properly. That is Julian Day. Calendar Man, Sean.
Yes. One of the... A character who's not scary until one writer turns him scary.
Exactly. So Calendar Man has the main thing is that he starts as a joke in like the 50s, as always with all of these Batman villains or Gotham villains. They kind of stick around as a joke for like maybe 30 years. And then around in the 1980s and 90s, new writers came in and they decided, wouldn't it be fun if we took all the Joe characters and kind of just made them serial killers? Crazy.
Yeah, well, you get writers like Frank Miller and shit like that in who just decide, hey, I'm going to go insane with this.
Yeah, because why not? Like, nobody would ever see it coming.
Yeah, so I'm... Okay, so... Yeah, I don't remember a lot of what we talked about the last time we talked about Calendar Man.
Mm.
So,
well,
my main
Man,
experience has been the Arkham Games versions of
Calendar
Man.
Yeah, he is in the Arkham. That's probably one of his biggest appearances, I would say. But Calendar Man was created by Bill Finger and Sheldon Moldoff back in September of 1958. So, okay, Bill Finger created Batman, as we all know. Bob
Connor,
Kane did not.
I think you'll find that was Bob Kane.
No, it wasn't. It just wasn't. We should do Hero Zero one time. I should just do it on Bill Finger and just spend the whole report being like, yeah, Bob Kane said he did that, but he didn't.
That could be a fun thing of like, just more like just talking about comic books for Hero Zero. That could be fun.
The time was ripe for Calendar Man when he debuted in 1958. So like so many supervillains, he was kind of just vaguely looking for fortune and to kind of make a fool of Batman at the time. And he had a gimmick, which everyone had to have back then.
Yeah, you couldn't be a street-level criminal. You had to be a larger-than-life fancy man of crime.
So he planned his crimes related to the seasons. But rather than just focusing on the traditional four seasons of spring, summer, autumn, winter, he also included a special fifth season. This was a hidden clue to his true identity because, Sean, in his first story he arrived in the guise of Maharaja the Magician. Julian Day arrives into Gotham City. I'm sure very culturally
sound. I was just going to say, I'm sure the most tasteful representation of a Maharaja.
1958, doing somebody not white or a man.
Oh, no.
He arrived in Gotham City for a five-day engagement, which was actually a front for a series of crimes he intended to commit. So he began, he basing his crimes on the five different seasons, which were the winter, spring, summer, autumn, and the Indian monsoon or rainy season.
Okay, more of a weather event, but I'll accept it.
He basically wore outfits to match with the crimes. And the fifth costume turned out to be the one he wore as his day job as the magician.
Right. It feels really weird, right, to have a character called Calendar Man be introduced.
Mm.
And immediately, first of all, precious little to do with an actual calendar. And then he's just adding on additional seasons to things. He's breaking his own rules.
Well, we needed a way for Batman to figure out who he was. So when he started committing crimes on the Indian monsoon season, Batman Bruce Wayne is like, hang on a minute, that one Indian magician guy arrived 5 days ago.
But why not, like, why not have a man who's themed around flowers and it can just be springtime?
Shut your fucking face, right? He's Calendar Man.
Dressed as an identically raced florist. Where's the difference in that story, other than you don't get to draw an Indian fella?
Because we don't get to draw an Indian fella.
That sold comics in the 50s.
That made them fly off the shelves. So not much was learned about Calendar Man's backstory in that background in that story. You could just find that Batman solves the crime, beats him up a little bit, and puts him in jail. Although, I mean, it did provide him a few colourful costumes. So,
I guess.
I mean, that's his very original story. And for a long time, he's just a joke. He's just a gag character who just kind of shows up. What can you do? But by the time the Batman, a story known as Batman the Long Halloween miniseries comes around in 1997... The Calendar Man had already been getting to start out to get fleshed out a little bit more. And the Long Halloween, for anyone who hasn't read it, is a big long story set during Batman's early career where he hunts a killer who uses holidays as the team for his murders.
Yes, it also has the best version of the Batsuit with the big long ears on it.
Oh, very good, yes.
Yeah.
So in order to catch him, obviously Batman's like, Julian Day must be involved.
Has to be. This is him all over.
It's him all over, and he goes to Arkham, and Julian Day is there. But it's not Julian Day because he's locked up, so Batman's like trying to get information. What event is coming up soon? Like, is there a certain thing that is not well known, but like is known in other parts of the world that maybe there's a crime going to be committed tomorrow? I'm not sure. And Julian Day is basically seen as like criminal minds kind of guy. Like he's giving the insights.
Yeah, it's like the Clarice Hannibal Lecter thing, that you're going to the criminal for advice on how the other criminal thinks.
Exactly. And so during the story, it's also revealed that his first name is Julian Gregory Day. So his first and middle name referring to the Julian and Gregorian calendars.
Okay, that's kind of clever, writers. Bet you fucking took an early Friday on that one, didn't you?
This was all kind of came in later on. So you can see where he comes in as a joke, then they add on to it in the Long Halloween, and then a lot of people are like, tell us more about Julian Day. Like, we want to know. And so then they write his whole origin. They go back and they retroactively add his whole origin that adds to the character, and that's where I'm going to get into now.
Okay, so they give him context because he was well received.
Exactly. So as a youth, Julian Day's father promised that he would be home for the holidays.
Outstanding, first of
all. He went out for a packet of smokes and he said he'll be back on the holidays. Taking a bus to wait for him at a bus stop, Day waited from Christmas Eve to New Year's Day. When the police took Day in on New Year's Day, he was almost dead from the cold.
I mean, they still left him out for like a week.
Give him another hour or two.
It's that week between Christmas and New Year's.
There's another bus coming in an hour. I might be there. He was almost dead from exposure. So from then on, Day began to assign almost literal meanings to each day. In addition, he began to suffer mood swings related to the days.
Right. So as in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he's different people.
Or events.
Or different moods. Okay, I get you.
So Valentine's Day, he's feeling a lot more lovey. Independence Day, America.
Okay. Yeah, no, there's some jokes that are too far, Connor.
Within a few months, Mother's Day came, but Julian's mother wasn't exactly the warmest person to approach. Julian tried to demonstrate his love, but his mother showed nothing but contempt for him.
Why? What did he do?
He's just a dickhead. In a fit of uncontrollable rage, Julian attacked his mother. When Julian regained his senses, he realised that he was holding his mother's beating heart in the palm of his hand.
Holy fuck. Transition this into him dressing as an Indian magician.
Yeah, and whenever they do this, whenever they like make the character serious and then add a cool backstory, you always got to go back to the 1950s when they're introduced like,
yeah.
Hey, Batman, you'll never catch me.
They go right in the blimp. Mustache kind of like it. Man. Okay, so he kills his mom.
Yeah.
Bad move.
On Father's Day, Julian discovered that his old man was living in the East End docks. Julian tells his father that he wants to clear the air between them by having an afternoon to themselves. Julian insists that the two of them go out into the Gotham Bay for some fishing.
Okay.
The day slowed to a crawl as Julian finished hacking what was left of his fodder. Julian used various parts of his fodder to reel in some big catches.
Oh my. Right. Okay, but now he's done killing, presumably.
From that day forward, whenever Julian ate a nice serving of fish, he felt a little bit closer to his dear old dad.
Hey, that's, I don't like that at all. That's weird.
So, as Julian got older, his mind became more and more demented. And as he gave certain holidays a newfound but twisted reverence. In late November, Julian dropped in unannounced during a Thanksgiving dinner. Julian was hiding from the cops after he had committed a robbery. Julian proceeded by killing each family member and then helped himself to some stuffing, turkey and pumpkin pie.
Oh, so he's just cool with killing in general.
Oh, he's a psychopath, yeah.
Right, okay, there's no... So he's a serial killer.
Remember, he starts Indian magician guy just committing petty crimes.
Committing petty crimes looking for a bit of fortune.
But after the Long Halloween, he's kind of seen as more of a psychotic killer because Batman's asking him ideas for another psychotic killer. So maybe he has a dark backstory. And that's where we come into here.
I see. That's, like, this is way more interesting. As a villain, to be fair.
From that day forward, Julian would always feel overwhelmed with a sense of loneliness because he will never know what a true family Thanksgiving is.
Killing everyone you go to.
Yeah, but look, he was hanging out for a little bit. After Thanksgiving, Julian was eventually captured by the Batman. Earl Harkness was the judge who presided over Julian's case, and Julian's lawyer basically tried to pass off an insanity plea, thereby making Julian unable to stand trial. However, Harkness, being the hanging judge he is, refused to let the monster off the hook and swore he would have sent Julian to Blackgate, where the gallows tree would be waiting for him. So Julian orchestrated his escape from Arkham. Then he devised a plan to crash the judge's Christmas party.
Oh no, it's only a few weeks after the last. That's a remarkable trial turnaround for
very quickly. It's comic book trials.
That's fair. That's fair. Say what you will about Gotham, their justice system is efficient.
It is blind, but it is efficient. It doesn't really work that well. In terms of speed, it also has speed in getting them back out onto the street.
It's true. It is a revolving door powered by a Boeing 747.
The first thing that Julian did was strangle a Santa Claus impersonator on a street corner. Then he disguised himself as Santa Claus. Afterwards, Julian crashed Harkness's Christmas party and lured Harkness away from his guests with eggnog that was laced with ketamine.
Oh! Ketamine. God, it's not often that crops up in the story.
The police later found Harkness's body hanging from the roof with a strand of Christmas lighting used as a noose around his neck.
Poetic. I love it.
As New Year's Eve came around, Julian crashed another party, but for an entirely different reason. Before Julian turned to a life of crime, he would occasionally, before he turned to a life of crime, Sean.
Yeah.
He would occasionally stalk a young lady, okay? Whatevs.
No whatevs, don't stalk people, is the official sense of
Julian
this show.
Julian tried to profess his love for her, but she spurned his affections and put a restraining order on him. Bit sly, if you ask me.
He's a fucking creep.
He's only killed a few people at this point. He's sound. After Julian's escape from Arkham, he had learned that this young lady was throwing a New Year's Eve party, and he felt... What better way to melt the ice at a party than with a flamethrower? So
melt the ice is not the term either, Julian.
No, it's not. I think he just had a flamethrower and he was trying to figure out how to use it.
Get her to warm up to him or something.
She actually managed to escape, but her guests did not. So her guests burned to death.
Oh, God. But she's okay.
Yeah.
Tough way to start the year, I'll be honest.
So this goes on. I have so many stories of him. We'll cover a few more because, I mean, this is all like in a row what happened.
Yeah.
Because he just kills people every day, nearly every day of the year, because there's always something on. So afterwards, Julian makes a New Year's resolution. He swears that he would find his soulmate and prove his devotion to her. So Valentine's Day comes around, Sean.
Oh, God.
And Julian eventually caught up with the girl that ran away. He bought her a dozen red roses, an assortment of chocolates, and a piece and a nice lacy garment to make the night memorable, Sean.
Right, she doesn't want any of it. He killed all of her friends.
So he's only killed a few of the friends.
Okay. I think if you kill any of your partner's friends,
it's a red flag.
It's a bit of a red flag.
If you flamethrower my friends, I'm not going to be happy.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest, Connor. If you flamethrower any of my friends, we're going to have words, you know.
Strong words or just words?
Strong words.
Oh, fuck.
Off mic words.
Off mic words. I'm putting the flamethrower away. Julian smothered her with love, along with a pillow. What? He's just smothered her with love.
She
was, however, resuscitated on her way to the hospital.
Unkillable.
Unkillable.
How many more times has she almost got killed by Callum?
Julian, at this point, he's left with a broken heart.
Does he think she's dead?
No, he knows that she survived.
Ah, darn.
But the spirit was lifted when his gang committed a string of successful robberies. However, Julian began to realise that someone in his gang was an informer for the Batman, because there had been a few instances where the Batman miraculously showed up before the heist was even committed. So Julian wasn't sure which of his men was the rat. So he decided to host a St. Patrick's Day celebration. Huh? Me and you? Huh?
Yeah. Okay. Don't drag me into this. Like,
don't associate me with this, brother.
I know what's coming here, and it doesn't sound great.
Maybe he doesn't kill anyone here.
I guarantee. I'd also wager he kills him in a very insensitive way.
He served each of his men a pint of green beer, but what they didn't realise was that the dye that made the beer green was actually green mamba venom.
Classic.
He couldn't help but laugh at the irony, because late St. Patrick, he drove all the snakes he had in his company away, and now their bodies were rotting away under the shamrocks.
Wow, that's really, it's like poetry.
Isn't
rhymes.
It good?
Also, the snakes were pagans. That's who St. Patrick got rid of. Got rid of all the pagans.
Are we for or against that?
I don't know. Pagans were cool, man. A few druids around the place.
Hear them out. Let's see what happens.
I'm just telling, like, Ireland would be a lot more class if it was run by pagans.
It'd be a lot more class. You're on the tourism board. Julian eventually learned that his old flame was still alive.
God damn it.
The unkillable woman. And so he decided to play a little practical joke on April Fool's Day. Julian managed to sneak into her garage and gain access to her car. First he cut the brakes to her car, then he carefully placed a hidden camera on the dashboard so he could enjoy the joke while it was in motion.
So he's not even trying to get with her at this point, he just wants
No, now he's
just woman.
Sick of it. Now he's just like, I've tried so many times.
You can't die, and that's
I'm
weirder.
Sick of monologuing. At 5:22 a.m, Julian witnessed the panic in the young lady's face as her car sped down the busy streets of Gotham. Her car eventually collided with oncoming traffic, and the entire intersection went up in fire. Julian's only regret was that he couldn't yell surprise as the woman's screams became engulfed by the flames.
Nowhere in that sentence does it say she definitely
technically
died.
She's still alive.
She can come back at any point.
And we've ever seen any horror movie, they're never dead.
Unless you see them die, and even then sometimes.
Yeah. So on July 4th, he received a calendar. Commissioner Gordon received a calendar with the month of July ripped out. Batman figured that Julian was going to strike during the Independence Day celebration. Makes sense. Mm. Batman managed to apprehend Julian, but he was not able to save the innocent lives who were housed in the intensive treatment ward. As Julian was being carted off to Arkham, he couldn't help but notice the anger and sadness in everyone's eyes. Julian, with a grin on his face, simply replied, "What's the 4th of July without a barbecue? Ha 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 ha."
Oh. He's needlessly evil. Like, he's just, he's not doing it for any reason.
Psychopathically evil.
He's this man was a magician.
Yeah. See, the great thing about Calendar Man is that people hear of Calendar Man and they think it's a laugh. And he actually has an outfit that is very funny. If you've seen the outfit, it's a bit of a laugh. If it's a Joe costume, it's a Joe character that... I love when a Joe character gets turned into just a psychopath. We had it with Killer Mott as well, if you remember. Like, it's just a case of once you nail that, you can lock in, and there's nothing scarier than somebody who's like called Calendar Man just killing people one by one.
Yeah, I do like the version that is like the bald head and then the numbers tattooed around his.
That's proper scary. The original one has like the calendar bit sticking out of his belt and all.
Yeah, he looks like a superhero with a cape made of calendars and numbers around his waist. Like, yeah, it's dumb.
Yeah.
But the scary one is actually like, oh no, this could be a real dude.
So when August came, Julian managed to escape Arkham again, but this time with the help of Scarecrow. Scarecrow had designed a new strain of fear toxin, and Julian devised a wicked idea to infect a mass number of dogs with the toxin, then set them loose.
Why are you infecting dogs?
On the festival of Saint Roch, the saint of dogs, Saint Roch.
How do you spell it?
R-O-C-H.
R-O-C-H. Saint Rock, I believe. Yeah.
He's the saint of dogs.
He is.
So?
Saint of dogs, invalids, falsely accused people, and bachelors.
A lot going on his plate, does Rock.
Yeah, he's busy.
And he's an actor. So, the crazed animals tore through the blistering streets of Gotham. In Julian's mind, what better way to celebrate the dog days of summer, because it's in August, than to give every dog his day? And on an afternoon, no less.
In an afternoon?
Yeah.
You're corrupting the phrase, even. Like... I don't know. He's playing fast and loose with the calendar is all I'm saying.
His last crime that he committed that really stood out to me was that on Labor Day, Julian goes off crazier than usual. First, he poses as a construction worker and then crashes a bulldozer into Gotham's gold exchange. But he doesn't take any gold because that would require him to do some labouring and everybody has Labor Day off. So you're not allowed to work.
But he crashed the bulldozer in.
But he just crashed it.
But that's work.
I think he just put a brick on the accelerator and walked away.
Right. What? Okay. So he's adhering to the rules of the holiday.
Yeah.
But in a psychotic way.
Well, next he pays homage to the labours of Hercules by setting a pack of wild boars and lions loose throughout the city. And then lastly, Batman captures him just before he could inflict any devastation on the poor women who were in labour in the maternity ward of Gotham Medical. Batman got to him just before he could harm them.
God, yeah. He was just about to kill a load of newborns. Yeah.
He's also done things of like based on days of the week. But Batman always catches him once again. He's been caught by several people. In the New 52, he's a lifestyle reporter for Channel 52. I don't think that's as fun as just a psychopath.
Yeah, he's just a lunatic.
So in terms of pirate powers and abilities, his abilities are gadgetry, he's a successful inventor, weaknesses, obsession.
He's obsessed with the calendar.
Yeah.
So if you just remove all holidays, is he done?
Yes.
Or go back to like historical ones or
something? Maybe, yeah. Well, he was actually... A really cool fact was he was driven insane when he was put in solitary confinement on the night of December 31st, 1999.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just before the millennium happened. He was like, nah.
Because they didn't know if all the calendars and all the times and all the computers would work, so he didn't know... Y2K could have happened to him.
He could have got Y2K'd.
Yeah.
As did we all.
As did we all. in his earlier incarnations, Calendar Man is depicted as like the usual stereotypical Silver Age, different costumes to commit crimes. Then he's barely used, and then he's revamped by writer Jeff Loeb in The Long Halloween. and he's institutionalized basically at Arkham Asylum and is deemed as an insane, ruthless criminal. Like, completely insane, completely ruthless.
And there's no hope of him ever not being that.
No. The new version is best known for having abbreviations of the MUDs tattooed around his head in a circle as well.
Good luck. It's a really good look. And played by Sean Gunn in The Suicide Squad.
He is played by Sean Gunn in The Suicide Squad, yes. From Gilmore Girls.
Sean Gunn from Gilmore Girls, ladies and gentlemen.
Have you seen Gilmore Girls?
No, I have not seen a single episode.
I've been watching it recently, right? Let me tell you this. I'm going to say I'm a fan of the gals, right? Fan of everything to do with it. I don't know who's on camera for that show. But there are full scenes that are completely out of focus. And it's driving me insane.
Is it just low res or is it just actually
unfocused? No. Not low res. There is something in focus on the shot. Like maybe a bowl of fruit. But there's people talking above the bowl of fruit, completely out of focus.
They really wanted to look at the fruit is going to be key to the whole thing.
And I'm genuinely, I was watching it and I'm like, who said this was okay?
That went through several rounds of editing.
Unless they were completely tight for time and they're like, we've only got one chance and Bobby's never pulls fucking focus properly, but fuck it, it'll be grand.
But yeah, like, but like, if it's your, you know, if it, that's okay to happen once in a scene in an entire series.
Yes.
Not repeatedly. There
has been multiple issues.
I'll write off to the creators of Gilmore Girls there now.
I would really like you to watch it just so you could have that moment with me. There was a moment, Sean, while watching it, where I thought I needed glasses. Like, I thought it was me. I genuinely was watching it going, fuck, my eyesight must be going because, like, there's no way that gets put to air. There's no way.
Yeah, you were like, surely the Gilmore gals couldn't have made an error.
And then it cuts back to a different shot and that's completely unfocused. I'm like, oh, my eyesight's healed. Oh, good.
You're like, hang on a minute.
So that's my report on Calendar Man, Sean.
Very good report on a very cool and scary character, Connor. Mm. Would you like me to take us out?
Of course.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Hero or Zero. We will be back on... We were back earlier in the live show, and then we'll be back on Wednesday with Weird News Wednesday, and then next Friday with another Hero or Zero. Is that the plan? I think that's the plan.
I think that's the plan.
So, thank you to everyone who supports on Patreon, patreon.com/heroesforhire podcast. Link to that is in the description. Also, the link to the merch store, heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter is @heroesforhirepod, the 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Devilman's Discussion Group. Instagram is heroesforhirepodcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just the one, please.
And I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So, I've been Connor Lawler.
I have been Sean Meehan.
And I shall see you all next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.